You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
November 23rd, 2019. This is Deanna Spingola broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs via republicbroadcasting.org. I invite you to visit my websites at spingola.com. You may access the radio schedule page. Just click on the radio schedule page button. It's on the left side of that page. My other website is screeningsandyhook.net, screeningsandyhook.net. If you wish to ask questions or make comments during the program, please email comment at spingola.email. Join others in the friendly chat room at spingola.chatango.com. The archives, of course, are located at spingolaspeaks.net and republicbroadcasting.org. Again, the archives are at spingolaspeaks.net and republicbroadcasting.org. So if you missed part of the program or don't have time to, I know Saturdays can be very busy, and perhaps you don't have time to listen to the program live, you can always listen at the archives, which I encourage you to do. My guest, the first hour today, is Lori Warren, W-A-R-R-E-N. She is the founder of Create Vibrant Health and author of a brand new book titled Wild World, Joyful Heart, Unlock Your Power to Create Joy, Health and Joy. Her website is Lori Warren, that's LAURIEWARREN.com. Lori, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Deanna. I'm pleased to be here.
Oh, I'm very grateful that you're here. And you've written this great book, and you also have a very pleasant, welcoming website that people can visit. And the topic of today's program is Millennials and Generation Z. Quit jobs due to mental health. How can we help? And
yes.
It's amazing. What's going on here? Before we start, I want to share an email. It's kind of light-minded, but maybe it'll just add a laugh or two. Somebody's already been to your website, has already evaluated your work, and this person is very thoughtful and really very funny. And he says, I agree with Lori Warren that many of us make the mistake of trying to be perfect parents. For example, my wife once complained to me, I'm worried that our children are becoming spoiled. But I told her not to worry because lots of kids smell that way.
That's great.
Isn't that funny?
That is funny. And they do. Lots of kids do smell that way.
Excuse me. Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny that I wanted to share it.
Thank you for sharing that. It's great.
But this is not something that we can continue to laugh over, because there is a problem, and you indicate that a recent survey shows that 50% of millennials have quit jobs for some sort of a mental health reason. And this is... Nobody talks about this. First, let's define a millennial. They are aged what to what?
So what was interesting, this survey actually showed, if I can just kind of expand on that a little bit. So
sure.
50% of millennials have quit jobs for some, sort of mental health reason. And even more alarming, 75% of the Gen Zers have quit. So 75%. Now, just to put that in comparison, Deanna, 10% of baby boomers have quit a job for mental health reasons. So just, sometimes it's helpful to have a reference point. So if you look at the baby boomer population, very few, one out of every 10 quit a job for mental health reasons. And now it's one out of every two, or even not even that, like more than that, more than half. So this is, not really a trend that I think we can ignore. And to answer your question, so Gen Z's and Gen Y is basically everybody 39 and under. And the cutoff between Gen Y and Gen Z, I believe right now it's around 22. So the Gen Z population is now full force coming into the workforce. It's a huge population. There's like 60 million Gen Zers. And most of the stats say that by the end of 2020, they'll be over 60% of the workforce. So this is not something that we can say, oh, well, big deal, they're young. No, it's not that they're young. They're a huge part of our workforce now, more than half. So that's, one thing. It's just alarming from a workforce perspective if you're someone that runs a company. But there's also the question, wow, that's a lot of mental health issues. And so, as you dig into the research, it gets even a little more depressing. So I think it's one out of every five teens, so 20% of teens are depressed. When I say depressed, not like, oh, I had a bad day, like clinically depressed. So one in five are depressed, while only 30% of them actually seek help. And anxiety disorder is one out of every 18. So there's definitely, I think we're seeing sort of a juxtaposition of mental health issues are on the rise. Suicide is one of the top four reasons that these people, causes of death. So this is a really serious problem. So we've got mental health seems to be on the rise in the younger generations. That's problem number one. Problem number two, unlike some of their predecessors, they will quit jobs if they feel like they're under too much stress and their mental health issues aren't, being helped or addressed by the company. Whereas the baby boomers were more likely to just say, and even the Gen Xers were more likely to say, oh, well, that's just the way it is, and I want to make money, and I want to climb the career ladder, I'm just going to suck it up and do my job. And these folks have a completely different array of things that are important to them.
Wow. I just can't imagine people just quitting a job, but it indicates that they have a hopeless, something that they see as hopeless.
Yeah, well, I think it's, I think it's twofold. One is that, if you're clinically depressed or if you suffer from, clinical chronic anxiety, things do feel hopeless and you feel unable to do your work. And I think the difference with these folks is, unlike baby boomers and Gen X, so I do, part of my work is doing, as a corporate consultant, helping companies build a wellness culture in their company. So I'm very tapped into what these generations are looking for in work. And the three top things that these two generations, so people 39 and under, what they're looking for from a job is, number one, they're looking for permanent flexibility in their job. Permanent meaning not like, oh, you get to take a day off once every quarter, but, you know, you get to work from home on Wednesday afternoons. You get to take, you know, work Fridays from home or take Wednesdays off, you know, some kind of permanent flexibility. That's thing number one. The second thing is that they really want a focus, a cultural focus on well-being in the company. And the third thing is they want jobs with purpose. And this generation is just, I think they're not willing to put up with the same baloney from corporations that folks of our generation were willing to put up with. I think they're just, and so if you combine that with the mental health issues that they're struggling with, they're just much more likely to be like, you know what? What you're asking me, I'm not working 70 hours a week, so I quit.
Ah. Corporations do exploit their employees, and I think that corporations have always done this, but as you state, before, people were more willing to accommodate the demands of their of these corporate entities. And today they're not.
Yeah, I just think that these generations, and what's interesting, in addition to being a bit tapped into them from the corporate work I do, I have four kids, and two are Gen Y and two are Gen Z. So I definitely have a feel for these generations and what they're, you know, and it is, and even between the two of them, they're different. But there's definitely, especially with the Gen Zers, there's definitely a, yeah, you know, kind of, yeah, I'm not doing that. Like, that's not okay. And it's not okay that, you know, one of the things that I talk about a lot around mental health is that we still have such a stigma, Deanna, around mental health, where anybody would probably feel comfortable calling their boss and saying, gee, I can't come into work today because I have a broken leg or the flu or, you know, I don't know, my eye is bleeding or something physical, right?
Right.
But most people won't call in and say, my panic disorder is off the charts today. I actually am afraid to leave my house. Or I'm so depressed that I can't get out of bed today. People don't feel comfortable doing that because, number one, there's still a huge stigma around mental health that we haven't really addressed in this country. The second thing is that, you know, people are they're fearful of the stigma and then being managed out of the company. So, and then furthermore, they don't even know what kind of help can be had at their company for mental health challenges, even though it may exist. So maybe part of the help plan at companies may be mental health resources, but they don't know about them. They're not talked about. They're afraid to seek them out because they don't want to get the stigma. And so they don't talk about it until they're past the breaking point and then they quit.
Wow.
And I think it's a big problem. I think that this generation is different, and in a way that I think maybe they're going to teach us something, like that we need to wake up and smell the coffee around mental health issues.
Right. And are there more mental health issues now than in previous generations, or are they being just diagnosed as having a mental health situation? What is causing so many mental health problems? Is there, yeah, have you defined a cause?
I think that we could probably get a table of experts in a room and have a really long discussion about that, because I think everybody's still trying to kind of figure out what's going on. But, you know, as a discussion, I can point out some things that I think are probably lending to it. So I think, one, what you said is correct. I think now, even though there's still a huge stigma around mental health, we're at least starting to talk about it a little bit. So now, whereas people would completely hide things and we would just never discuss it, now we're interested in it. We're starting to research it. You know, even the fact that I can tell you, you know, the statistics around teenage depression and, you know, anxiety and suicide, the fact that we know those means that, you know, we're just paying more attention now. Whereas before, we just didn't even ever talk about it at all. And people were just sad and isolated by themselves. So I think that's one thing. I would also venture to say that the culture that these kids are growing up in, kids and young adults, has a huge amount of pressure behind it. Very different. So I'm 53, so I'm like a very old Gen Xer, like I'm almost into the baby boomers. And things are so different now when I've watched with my Gen Y and my Gen Z kids, the pressures they feel culturally, that they feel from schools, that they feel from the parent body of, you know, be successful and get the best grades and you have to have a great resume to get into college. And then, you know, and this thing, you know, where parents are like paying to get their kids into college because they want them to go to the right, the quote unquote, right place. And I think there's an immense amount of pressure on kids now that I didn't feel growing up. I didn't feel that kind of pressure to go to a certain school or get certain grades or, you know, study and be a doctor, a lawyer, a neuroscientist, or it just wasn't the same. And do you feel the same way? Like, what I don't know what generation
yes.
you were in, but it was different.
Yes. I feel the same way. We did not have pressure from our parents. Nobody had to say, do your homework, or because we just took responsibility if we were given homework to do. If we didn't do it, then we suffered the consequences ourselves. We just didn't. At least I can only talk for myself, but I just did my homework because that was what we were assigned to do. We didn't really have all that much homework. I think there was more work done in the classroom. I think that there's a lot more recreational kinds of activities going on in the classroom, excuse me, than academic work. And the other thing that I note is that we also had more physical activities so that we could, like recess and all of the outside things that we could do. I grew up in California. All of the outside things that we could do to address, well, children are active. That's what we did. We were just active. We played a lot of games, outside games, so that when we were in the classroom, we were expected to attend to our work. And I think that there are a lot of children. Well, for instance, in today's world, because of the federal intervention, the Department of Education has taken over from, has taken control of education from the local school districts, and that for children who are deemed to have problems, the school district gets federal money. So the more people that they can diagnose, quote unquote, with some sort of a mental issue, means that the school will get more money. So perhaps the school is making diagnoses. School teachers. A teacher shouldn't be able to say, oh, this child has ADHD, or this child has ADA, or something like that. And these diagnoses are typically may be performed by people who shouldn't be involved at all. Okay, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
OMG! People are jumping on board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink for a gentle, taste-great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So, GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com for Super Strength Tea. And YouTube, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. GetTheTea.com, the tea that makes you go.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead. To change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest of the first hour today is Lori Warren. Warren is one of the names in my genealogical background, so that's interesting. Anyway,
oh, nice.
She is the author of a new book, Wild World, Joyful Heart, Unlock Your Power to Create Health and Joy. Her website is LoriWarren.com. And during the break, I was thinking, my parents never asked me if I was done with my homework. They just never, they figured it was my responsibility. And I took that responsibility. They never helped me with it. And I note that later generations, the parents would get in and help with homework, and I think that's really not helping the child. It's accommodating the child. And when you, for instance, when my children were young, and they were learning how to make their bed, when they were two or three or something like that, however they made it, whatever efforts they put forth, I never remade their bed. Because if I did that, I would be sending them a message that they didn't do it properly and that they needed me to make the adjustment. I let them develop at their own speed. And because you send a message to your child that they feel that you, that they think that they're incapable, or that it just sends the wrong message. And when parents are doing the homework of their children, or interloping, or that kind of thing, they send a message to their child implying that they don't believe their child is capable of taking care of their homework themselves. And then I think that the child becomes more dependent. I don't know. I just feel like people should be independent and develop and take responsibility for their own responsibilities, for what they're doing.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. And I think part of the issue, you know, kind of coming back to our discussion before break and looping in what you just said, Deanna, what is that these kids and these younger people, in addition to that, there's just been so much pressure on them. And, you know, your whole conversation there about making the bed, the message is you didn't do a good enough job, that you didn't do that. But I'm saying nowadays, if the parent goes in and remakes the bed, it's like you didn't do a good enough job and everything has to be perfect. I think there's a lot of, and it's sad because it's hard for the parents too, like this idea that you have to be a perfect parent and your kids have to be perfect and they have to come out and do amazing things when they get out of school, including going to a really good college and then coming out and doing more amazing things. And there just isn't, there's so much pressure on them and there isn't a lot of room to just be a kid.
Right.
You know, just like you were saying before break, like going out and playing baseball in the field with your friends. Like nobody does that anymore. It's all, you know, recreation is all sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, where it's done by the adults. Like you join
a
team and you, yeah, it's managed by everything. And I think, honestly, I think that's part of what leans, you know, may lend to some of the rise in the mental health issues we're seeing is because part of what makes you feel good about yourself is that you can do things yourself.
Right.
And that no one's hanging over you and telling you that, oh, I'm going to help you with your homework because you aren't capable of doing it yourself, and I'm going to remake your bed for you, and have you gotten your college applications in, and here, let me help you do them. I mean, with our kids, it was like, you're the one that wants to go to college. Do your own applications.
Right.
And I'll help you. Like, I'll read an essay and give you some suggestions, but I'm not doing it.
Right.
And yeah, and I think it's interesting. I think these younger generations have not only had, you know, the, what do they call them, the helicopter parents and then the snowplow parents.
Oh, yes.
Right, that have just done too much, and at the same time had this incredible pressure to just be amazing. And I think, do we all really need to be amazing, or can we just be regular people? Live regular lives, you know? Go ahead. No, you go.
How about, as a child, I used to go out and just lay in the grass and look at the sky and I just enjoyed being a child. And yeah. My parents didn't put any kind of pressure on me. So it was okay. It was just okay. You had time to imagine. You had time to develop your imagination, to develop your likes and dislikes without having a parent force them on you or force onto you what their expectations. You could just be who you were. And children need to go through this developmental stages where they can do that, when they can exercise their imagination, where they can be a two-year-old or a four-year-old. At any given time, they can just be who they are without the pressure exerted by parents or teachers or anyone else.
Yeah, and in a way, I wonder, you know, and I'm using that word carefully, I wonder, I don't know, but I wonder if that's part of, particularly with the Gen Z population and this, you know, 75% quitting for mental health reasons, is it because they've just had so much pressure for so long while they were at home under their parents' roof, they get out and they're like, God, I just can't do this anymore. Like, I just can't deal with all this pressure anymore. Now I don't have to because I don't have a parent breathing down my neck and saying, oh, but you have to go to Harvard or you have to be this important job. Or I wonder if that's part of it, part of this trend that we're seeing.
Right. And you mentioned recently, of course, we had this big, very, very public outing of parents who actually paid for their children to be sent to, they forged documents and they forged this and they paid money without even consulting the children, the young adults, who were just happy being who they were. And so terrible for the children, the young people, whose lives are now impacted, well, for the rest of their lives, because what those parents did was not only tell their children, look, we don't believe you have the wherewithal to get into this college yourself, and obviously you're too stupid to do that, so we're going to have to pay this college to enroll you, or we're going to have to pay somebody to take a test for you. And they did this without, many of them did this without even consulting the child, the young adult, and the young adult is put in that same position that maybe they were placed in when they were younger. And how many children did this destroy? Children who had other plans, and their parents did that to them. What a horrible thing to do to your child.
Yeah, and I think it's the parenting culture as it stands right now, at least in the U.S., is just, there's so much, parents feel like they have to be perfect and have perfect kids, and they feel like their kids are a direct reflection on them. I notice this a lot in the parenting culture. And, you know, our kids are their own people. Sure, they're influenced by us, but you can look at kids that come out of a family, five different kids, and they're five completely different people.
Yes, of course.
And right? And they may have, you know, I've got, of my four, the two older went to college. One went on to get her graduate degree. The third one went to college for a semester and decided it wasn't for him, and he's working as a mason now and really enjoying it. And the third one's 17 and is applying to colleges now. So they all kind of did different things. Like, they just, you know, are finding their own way without someone saying, well, in order to be successful, you have to do this. And without ever defining what is success, what does that even mean? Successful how? Successful with money? Successful because you're a good person? Successful because you give back to the community? There's all kinds of different definitions of success. And I think a lot of times they're just talking about the success that has to do with money and stature. And I think, you know, the kids, that just seems so overwhelming to have that pushed upon them at such a young age.
And of course, the other thing is that when you are producing something, when you have an actual skill that is marketable, I think you're sometimes better off than if you go to college and run up these huge, huge loans. Then you come out, you can't get a job, you can't find a job, you have these loans to pay off. That adds pressure, which adds, they probably are pretty depressed.
Yeah, and anxious.
Of course. So it's Whereas people who have an actual skill and they can work every day and there are no loans to pay off because that was their choice. And whatever your choice is, but people have to understand that what they're choosing has consequences. It has certain obligations. And so children need to make this decision. If they ask for some counsel, it's there, but it's something that they should do so that they are taking responsibility for their own decision rather than have it shoved down their throat, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, you know, all these things we're talking about are lending to these statistics that we were talking about at the beginning. You know, so the question, like, why is that? I think there's a lot of reasons. And I think, you know, this discussion is uncovering what a lot of them may be that's making it challenging for these kids and making them, you know, get into jobs and be just, you know, not, it's just too much pressure and they're struggling with mental health issues and they don't know where to turn for that and there's no support in the company. And, you know, again, we still don't talk about mental health issues very much in our culture. That's slowly starting to change, but very slowly. So I think there's a lot of things that are contributing to these, you know, alarming statistics.
Right. And if you're diagnosed by some teacher as having for instance, if somebody's in the fifth grade and they're diagnosed with ADHD, that goes with them throughout their college or throughout their school years. And just because somebody says that you're overactive, particularly for a male student, males are usually more active. That's the nature of their nature. They're more active. And maybe instead of having a diagnosis of ADHD, maybe they should just go outside and run and just get rid of some of that energy, because it all seems to be about money, getting more money from the federal government, and the parents want them to make more money, so they encourage or apply pressure for them to go to school, when in fact they might feel better about themselves if they're producing something. It should be, I just feel that people should be who and what they want to be without this pressure that parents and teachers place upon them by labeling them and by implying that they're not good enough. Oh gosh, this is so sad. It's a sad thing.
Yeah, and to your point, there's actually a lot of, you know, if you look at the statistics, there's huge need in skill-based jobs. Like, they can't find enough workers because everybody's going off to college, even though they don't really know what they want to do or if they want to go to college at all, but that's what they're quote-unquote supposed to be doing.
And there's right.
all these, you know, great jobs they can get out of college, skill-based jobs where they can, you know, learn skills, but no one's filling those anymore.
Right.
And again, I think it's because there's this whole idea that in order to be successful, you go to college. And I'm not knocking college at all. I mean, I went to college, and I actually, in my 40s, got a graduate degree, so I'm not at all saying college isn't good, but I think it should be something that you really want.
Right.
Not just something that you're doing next because everybody tells you that's what you're supposed to do to be a successful person.
Right.
I think there's a lot of, you know, contributing factors. I agree with you on that.
Right. And then when they can't get a job and they have these loans to pay, of course they're going to be mentally ill. My goodness. Mm-hmm. You would be stressed out if you had all these bills to pay and couldn't get a job. What are you going to do? How are you going to manage that? It's putting an awful lot of stress on people who should have been able to take control of their own decisions to begin with. And as you say, there's a lot of things that are like trying to find an electrician or a plumber or any kind of that kind of a job. These are very necessary, and you can make very good money.
Absolutely. Yep.
And
without having something hanging over your head.
Right. And yep. And when you're producing something with your hands, that is always, I think, such, it gives a great deal of satisfaction to produce something and say, look, see what I made, or see what I did.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, my son that's been working as a mason for the last year, when he first started doing the work, he said, God, I love at the end of the day and I can see what I did.
Right.
Like, you know, like I can look at something and be like, wow, I built that chimney or that wall or that patio or that walkway and it looks good and I feel proud.
And he doesn't have to worry about paying back a student loan.
No, he doesn't, which he would have had to. You know, he went to school for a semester, and the first thing he did when he left college is pay off that, you know, the loan he'd already taken out, which wasn't very big because he chose to go to a state school. But he just didn't want to have those loans hanging over his head. And that's not why he chose not to finish college, but, you know, right away, he was just wanted to get that wiped out and have a clean slate. But, you know, what you were saying, the feeling of making something feels really good to him. And not everybody's like that. But I think the point is we need to have a more open discussion for these younger people about all the different things that are available that they can do. They're all very worthy jobs.
Right.
And some will choose to go to college because they actually want to be, you know, I don't know, a foot doctor. So there's a very specific path you follow to do that. Or they want to be, you know, work in marketing. So there's a very specific path you'd follow to do that. But then someone else says, wow, I actually really want to train horses. Okay, well, that's a different path. And here's how you do this. Or I want to be a plumber. Okay, that's a different path. And there's so many different ways to live a happy, successful, contributing life.
Right. And I have talked with people who have worked as counselors in school and have worked with older children, young adults, and we've talked about the pressure that's applied to these children. And this gentleman that I talked to was from California, and we had some really great discussions about the pressure that parents apply, and just that mm-hmm. pressure alone can be very, very troubling and very, it's just not good to feel that pressure. How would anybody deal with that kind of pressure? Is that they would feel alone, they would feel that they didn't have a choice, they would feel that they weren't in control of their own lives, they would feel... quite possibly that their parents would not accept them if they failed to accommodate what the parents wanted for them. There's all kinds of things that could encourage young adults, children, to feel outnumbered and to respond with stress, because mental health is oftentimes brought about by stress and by having expectations placed upon you that are entirely unnecessary. And when it comes from the people that are supposed to love you and help you develop your skills, not what they want for you, but to help each individual child develop their own skills, their own likes and dislikes, or allow the child to make those decisions Because when you make a decision and you implement it and you follow through, you feel successful. It wasn't something that was forced upon you by an over-anxious parent.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's a totally different dynamic than I think a lot of kids are feeling right now. And, you know, so of course they're anxious and depressed.
Right.
You know, in a way that the statistics shouldn't be all that surprising to us, given, you know, we're kind of seeing the fallout now from these more hovery, controlly parenting styles that have been predominant for the last few decades. Now we're seeing it coming out in the workforce, which would make sense, actually.
Sure. There, certainly it's going to come out in the workforce. And they're quitting their jobs because they feel that perhaps that is the only way out of this situation that they've been put in, not of their own volition, but simply because they were forced to. And now what do they do now? How else can they escape this situation but by quitting their job? It seems like the only way out for some people. They feel alone. And before, perhaps they did not feel alone. Their parents were instructing them and guiding them, and then they go off, they get their college degree, they get into a job that they may not like. Then what? They're just there, and they have this stress. So I can certainly see and understand that they feel that the only way out of this is to quit. That's very sad.
Right, and it is sad. And I think, so now that, you know, obviously we can't undo or redo, so now that we're here, I think one of the most important things we can do as, you know, parents of adult children, and, you know, because if you never stop parenting, right? Like, even when you're 88 and your kids are 50, you're still parenting.
Sure.
I think that as parents, as employers, and as teachers, I think the most important thing we can do is start having real discussions about mental health and getting people the help they need so that maybe they can, you know, heal from this ideal that's been created of being perfect and amazing all the time. So that maybe they can, you know, learn to work through their anxiety and work through their depression and come out on the other side feeling good about themselves and not feeling isolated, to your point. So I think the most important thing we can do is have discussions like this where we just call out the fact that mental health is a real issue. It's not anything to be ashamed of any more than you'd be ashamed if you broke your finger. But something's wrong instead of your physical body. Something's just not feeling right in your mind, and there's plenty of professionals that know how to help people work through things like that.
Right.
So I think now that we've created this situation with these generations, and I think we have to, now is the time to start really opening discussion on mental health, because the suicide statistics are frightening, and it's just, it's not okay. You know, like, we need to open the discussion so that people don't feel like they have to hide these things, like, oh, I have anxiety disorder and I don't want to tell anybody because I'm embarrassed. And the thing is, if you say, well, one out of every 18 has anxiety disorder and one out of every 5 is depressed, there's a whole lot of people that could sit around and have a discussion and not feel alone. Right? But
right.
Nobody talks about it, so they don't know that so many other people are suffering from the same thing.
And I think talk therapy is wonderful. People used to sit around on their front porch and talk about their problems. They talk face-to-face, and I think that social media, while it might be, well, it's very popular, it may not, it is probably not the interaction that one would want, because when you're doing social media, no one ever has a problem everybody has this fabulous life, and if you if you look at Facebook, they're not going to say, "Oh, I failed a test today, or I did this today, or I just feel so alone and frustrated." They're going to tell you something wonderful, because they can. Their lives are probably a facade. Are a facade. And so people need to connect more one-on-one, I believe, and have real relationships with real people who care about them.
Agreed.
Okay, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. "This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product." Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, this check is wrong. I worked a holiday and 7 hours of overtime. Not getting paid correctly is a real pain. It could also hurt our boss if our company provides out-of-compliance checks. That's right. Construction companies doing business with the government can get fined, or officials of the companies can go to jail if the checks aren't right. It's a law. The Davis-Bacon Act has 30 compliance issues for every check. But there is an easy way for construction companies to be in compliance. EMARS offers Compliant Client, a web-based system that finds and corrects all 30 of the possible out-of-compliance check issues. Users of Compliant Client report an 80% savings in time and money. Running a weekly payroll usually takes about 5 minutes. All 15,000-plus clients of EMARS have never had a legal compliance issue. Plus, they sleep better on check day. Contact EMARS at emarsinc.com or call 480-595-0466.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest today, the first hour, is Lori Warren. And she has some fabulous, fabulous ideas about how to help people. One of her ideas is, the importance of stress management, the power of meditation that addresses anxiety and depression. I just love all of the ideas that you have. I'm just so impressed with what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I think this is an important discussion that we've been having.
I think so. And I think that with the work that you're doing and the help that you are giving to companies and what you're trying to do for individuals in the workplace and the school, I just can't express my appreciation more for what you're doing. This is wonderful. You are going to the very core of what could help these individuals, and I think it's wonderful. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Well, I'm grateful that I get to do work that I love.
Yes, doesn't that feel good when you can participate in somebody to help them to recover personal responsibility, self-worth, self-care, when you can teach people in a very positive, wonderful manner without drugs, but just being able to empower people to find themselves and to empower themselves. I don't think that there's, I think that's the best way of looking at this situation and doing what you're doing. I just think it's wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, I think a lot of times we seek out sort of surface solutions to problems, and I tend to always think that foundational is the best way to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to get rid of the stigma of mental health challenges, because I think a lot of people can relate to this. We've all been stressed out at some point. We've all felt hopeless at some point, but we don't want to be stigmatized by something that was temporary, and you are trying to remove that. You're trying to help to initiate state and federal legislation. You're doing so much. I'm so impressed with what you're doing with your activities, and God bless you for doing this and for making this help available and addressing the issue instead of not addressing it. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. And God bless
you. Thank you, Deanna. Thank
you. Bye-bye. Take care. All righty, we're at the top of the hour. We will be right back with our second guest.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.